You're listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 12, and I am your host, DJ Chuang. On this episode, I speak with Pastor Bryce Ashlyn Mayo. Bryce is the lead pastor of Parkview Alliance Church in Alberta, Canada, and the closest city is Edmonton. The city is called Vermilion, so it's a bit in the rural area. The church is mid-size, and he'll describe more about the church context in our conversation. And I really wanted to talk to Bryce early in our ongoing conversations here at Social Media Church, because those of you who are regular listeners, we've been talking about how social media is used in various contexts, largely in the online church or internet ministries, and a couple that were about strategy and how church leaders can better connect and communicate with their congregation and their community. Well, on this episode, we'll talk with Pastor Bryce, who is not only a pastor of a mid-sized church there in Canada, he is also a doctoral student at George Fox Seminary studying the effects of information technology and social media on preaching. So rather than just talking about how social media can be used or is used in the church context, he's coming at it from the pulpit direction to his congregation. And so he is studying in the area of homiletics about how the art of preaching needs to be adjusted and adapted in order to effectively communicate the Word of God for those of us who are in a mindset and accustomed to using social media, not only in a participation manner, but just how the message and the media interplay with each other and how it reshapes our thinking and how we process information and ultimately our spiritual formation. Here's my conversation with Pastor Bryce Ashlyn Mayo. Yep. Well, you've given a lot more thought to this topic than anybody I've met.
Well, that's good, since that's what I'm studying. But yeah, it's an important thing for us to be thinking about, for sure. It's like my specific research is related to how social media is interacting our communication style and thus how that affects preaching. But, you know, we need to ask that question in regards to discipleship. We need to ask the question in regards to community, small groups, all that stuff, because it's really affecting everything about our society.
So you're pastoring and studying, and let's see here, Mobiquity, that's kind of a buzz, but I don't think we're there yet in terms of a broader conversation. I know it's the main conversation in the tech world.
Yeah, for sure.
But in the church world, it's like, well, how do you move from just a monologue to monologue plus?
Well, and the term ubiquity really is the idea of how mobile technology is becoming ubiquitous, right? So thus mobiquity, and how people are using their mobile devices to narrate their lives. And by narrating their lives with social media and mobile technology on the fly with GPS and all the new technology that it creates, the interesting part is we narrate our lives and we're the center of the narrative, right? We're the hero. We're the center of it as we do it, which creates a unique sense of the narcissistic reality that we all know kind of somewhat exists within this world, and then how that affects our understanding of ourselves, our understanding of what we desire for, and understanding our purpose and fitting into the meta narrative of God and His redemptive plan, and helping people find that piece of that puzzle. Because the reality of Mobiquity is technology promises what it cannot deliver. You know, it promises connection with other people. It promises connection and finding meaning. And we believe as Christians that a relationship with God and understanding us in His story is what people desire and want. And that's the unique element for us to fit in as church, as we can actually communicate what people actually want in that and desire, where technology can't deliver what it's promising.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're saying technology can enhance the community of the church and, in particular, preaching. So there's so much of the conversation so far, particularly in print, where Christian leaders and church leaders have thrown up so many cautions against technology. And so it's really refreshing for me to find you actually digging into, well, what is the value that technology can bring to something like preaching? So how did you get interested in the topic? What is it that you do, and where are you going?
Sure. So for me, like, I'm a pastor in Canada of just a medium-sized church here, lead pastor. We do a little bit of social media stuff, but not a lot, just the nature of our size. But I've always been both a fan of technology and a fan of the church. And so for me, trying to marry the two and finding a way to help the church, which I think we're in a unique crossroads, to begin to deeply reflect on that. And so that's always been a desire of mine. And so I wanted to do more study and reflection on it, and found that there was a bit of a void and gap in that realm. Because either you have one of two extremes that the evangelical church is known for. One is either you have the pragmatic adoption of technology. People just do it because you can do it. You don't necessarily think of the effects it causes. Or the other side of it, which is you raise 8 million flags and you run away from it, which isn't healthy either. So trying to find a healthy medium and trying to embrace it, but do so cautiously. And that, you know, took me to my doctoral studies. So I'm doing a doctorate of semiotics and future studies in George Fox. And my lead mentor is Len Sweet. It's awesome. So anyone wants to go to a good school, George Fox is great. It gives me lots of freedom to study what I want to study. And so I hope to publish on this topic.
Well, a topic like this sounds like it's more of an independent study rather than you going to a school and getting to study classes that are already developed.
Yeah, well, in our cohort, we use a cohort, you know, somewhat web model and personal based model, and so for us, face to face model. So for us, how we do that, everyone in my class is doing something different and unique. So I have guys that are studying, ways of the, how you use a honeybee as a metaphor for spiritual growth, which is great. It's an interesting topic. And other guys who are studying, like, the issues of multimodal teaching and how that affects preaching going forward. And so it, like, really all over the map. So it is somewhat independent, but, you know, we do gather together and we're kind of on the same path and trying to figure out what's the future for the church.
All right, so let's help our listeners understand a little more about your context, because church in Canada is different than the United States and other places around the world. So when you say medium size, what does that look like in Canada? And Canada is not a Christian dominant nation, so what does church look like in that context? And what does technology look like in that context?
Canada is probably influenced by the States for sure, and similar that way in culture, but unique. I'm in a more of a rural context. So our church size on a Sunday morning is, between 200 and 300 people, depending on the time of year. And so for Canada, would be a medium sized church. We have large, somewhat mega churches, not to the same extent as this church. And, the average church, probably much like the state, still is about 100 people. But the reality is, whether you live in a rural context or an urban context, people use technology all the time, right? So in my context, I have, we have farmers who work on their fields, and they, basically they have technology that can allow their tractors to run themselves, and they can, check on how their fields are going with, mobile technology and stuff. So for them, their world is very technologically orientated as well. So, a rural context now does not necessarily mean that you aren't mobile or you aren't technologically savvy any more or less than an urban context. So, that would be my environment. And that's my situation.
Cool. So on a typical Sunday morning, how many people would have a smartphone in their pocket ready to interact with your sermon?
Well, we use the Bible app that Life Church TV has developed. So we use that on a Sunday morning. So people can go online and see the sermon outline and follow along. And, there's some tweetable content in there and stuff that people can use. The reality is probably, we probably would have 25-30% of people who'd be active users of that technology, percent of people. We probably have probably about the same amount that would be passive users of that technology that would use it but wouldn't necessarily be active on it, and about the same who probably in a generational situation that's not their thing. And so trying to find a way to marry all of those different realities. So that would be our Sunday morning context for sure.
Okay. So talk a bit more about how you are incorporating, or what are the issues you're sorting through with regards to social media and preaching?
Yeah, so my area of study isn't so much on the area of how to use social media in preaching. I hope somebody does some study on that. That's not necessarily my area of interest. My area of interest is, I'm a believer. I'm a media ecologist, so I believe media has effect. It's morally neutral, but it's not neutral in the way it affects us. Just like print affected the way we thought, interacted with one another, understood truth around us, so has, you know, electronic culture now democratized through digital media. So now it's available to everyone. Everyone has access to it all the time. Affecting how we think and how we reflect on things. And so therefore, how we preach needs to change. How we preach and interact with people needs to alter itself so it affects people much like it did in the transition from an oral culture to a literate culture. Now, as we move to what Walter Ong calls a secondary orality, we need to also consider what does preaching look like, because it changed in that shift and it will change again. And being conscious and aware of what those effects are important for the church as it moves forward.
Okay, so as you're
studying, that would be my area of interest.
So as you're studying how social media is shaping a person's thinking.
Sorry, I lost the audio here on you.
Sorry, I hit mute because I'm trying to prevent the echo, because for some reason when I speak, it overrides what you speak and it's not syncing real well. But yeah, we're going to edit, so the glitches are fine. So as you're studying how social media is shaping a person's thinking and also their spiritual formation, what are you discovering?
Well, lots of different things. So one of the realities of what we're doing is my hypothesis is moving forward, as a guy by the name of Robert Lang has said, the best people who have the ability to project ahead and find secrets of productivity are those that can harness the ability of dead people, right? That's his catchy title. Basically, what he's saying is that find the problem that you have, which is how do we communicate in our current world, and then look in the past and find people that have solved that problem already and find ways of using their problem to solve their solution to solve your solution. And he uses the whole idea of origami. He talks about how they had to figure out how to get a stent into, you know, a heart, and how do you make it small to make it big. And they use the principles of origami. Or how do you take a big lens for a satellite and make it small for transport in a NASA vehicle up into space. And they use the principles of origami. You go backwards to go forwards. And my hypothesis is, as we move forward, we're moving more into a culture, as lots of media theorists, and the one I'm studying the most in-depthly is Walter Ong. As we move forward, we're moving into more of a culture that resembles orality than it does literacy. And so we need to look back to what's, you know, preaching used to look like in orality, or even what it even now looks like in orality in other parts of the world, because that is more in tune with where people are at now than what they were before. And a great example of that is just the use of social media in general. So nowadays, when in the print culture, when you would say something, it would be there, you could dissect it, it'd be around for a while, very much unlike an oral culture where somebody would say something, it was only there when it was said. And so it was, you know, constantly interpreted with community. You try to say it with memorality, all of those things in that context. And as we move forward into secondary orality, we already see this taking place, right? So you think of your Twitter or Facebook, right? Things only exist as long as they're kept in existence, right? So, you tweet something, it only has value if it's retweeted and about, depends on the size of your followership, you know, could be an hour and it's distant memory and you need to have something else to say. that constant sense of the way we understand and interact with material is constantly changing. And so moving ahead into a new oral world, we need to understand how to communicate in that oral world. And so I'm doing research on how we can understand how preaching was done in an old oral world and how that will be new and unique, much like a stint or a satellite device to be able to understand the future. It's going to be different, but we can understand some of the principles of the past in preaching. And there's lots of different examples of that, and I'm happy to give some if you're
interested. Yeah, so what is it about traditional preaching that doesn't quite connect in an orality-shaped world by social media?
Well, yeah, the challenge is, of course, we're in the transition stage. So there's parts of it that still work and other parts of it that doesn't work as much. You know, so, for example, in an oral culture, in the level of sensory understanding, one of the things was, you know, you had to hear something to believe it, right? So there's actually a huge value. And when we moved into literal culture or the literacy culture, that changed. You had to see something to believe it, right? We still live with that a little bit now. But, you know, there's a great, you know, antidote or story where Augustine goes to see his mentor Ambrose. And Ambrose is reading scripture, and he's reading scripture without speaking it. And Augustine is shocked and appalled that Ambrose would not speak his scripture, that he would read it in silence. And because in the context of the day, the understanding was you would have to speak something for it to be real. And that changed in literacy, where you didn't have to speak something. Sight was the most important thing. You had to actually see something to believe it. Now, that's changed again, having both memory of literacy, but also hearkening back to orality, where now you have to experience something to believe it. Participation is really important. Not just seeing something, but hearing something by putting it in my experience. That's vitally important, and finding how that fits into my world is important. And so preaching, therefore, has to change in regards to that. How do we communicate in such a way to allow people to participate, to allow people to experience, to engage with more than one sense of either the, you know, sight or sound, but also to engage it in a participatory way. And people are doing great research on this. Henry Jenkins is one. How do we engage in a participatory culture? And there's, you know, lots of lessons we can learn as communicators to be able to communicate in better ways to include people's participation and help them find their place, their story, their implotments, as some have said, in the larger story, the meta-narrative of Scripture.
Okay, so there's a lot of research beginning to happen in the laboratory. When is it going to leak out into the pulpit?
Yeah, my hope is that at the end of this, and I'm not quite there yet, so I'm in the process, is to help create what I call a teachable, reproducible model. Right now in seminaries, people learn typically the three-point preaching style, right? You get your main idea, you break it into 3 points, and then, you know, you do some sort of conclusion and you walk away from it. My hope is to help create a reproducible, teachable teaching model to be able to, you know, help to think through how do we do this going forward, and what does this mean to connect with people on a regular basis. So I'm actually really interested in your listeners in terms of their feedback, you know, in terms of discovering what are the issues they're experiencing on a regular basis. Like I have it from my experience that I've, you know, tried to get that from others, but really what are the issues they're experiencing? Is it people desiring participation and not being able to do it? Is it people, tuning out? You know, are people more connecting, as I propose, I think, will be more with metaphor, and how is metaphor working for them, or is that working for them? Narrative, and how do you use narrative in an effective way? What's working and not working in their perspectives and in their churches? Because that will help me to be able to articulate what we do moving forward.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I've heard all of the above. So all of those issues are percolating. And I'd love for our listeners here at Social Media Church to chime in with their experiences, because we're all learning together. And part of why I started this place for conversations with church leaders about social media is, and I'm about a dozen episodes into this now, so I'm getting a feel for where these conversations are going and what kind of topics are percolating and surfacing that's kind of a common thread and theme across the board. And one of the things I'm experiencing as I'm doing this is, while we may be in a orality-shaped culture in social media, a lot of that is expressed visually, because when you look at a tweet update or when you look at a Facebook update, it's coming through as text. And what's so drastically different about a podcast, it's 100% oral. So I don't need my eyes. I can close my eyes and still get input of information, unlike any other social media. And so it's a unique platform, but yet it's still connected into a social media saturated culture. So that's been fascinating. I know preaching is a oral as an A-U-R-A-L experience. And so how that connects into the social media world is a fascinating area of study.
And yet I'm increasingly, just like social media is moving this way in a little bit, increasingly also uses the visual dynamic. Like, you know, that's one of the movements that you've seen in preaching, right, where people use more pictures or videos to engage a visual sense and try to capture more of the sensorium, right, more of your senses in a Sunday morning or in a preaching event. And in fact, you actually said a little bit in Facebook, not so much in Twitter, it's the nature of the technology, but how much on Facebook, I've noticed this over the last 2 years, that status updates are more and more pictures with quotes on them, right? Mm-hmm. People don't just give texts; they give texts in context of an image. And I think it just highlights the fact that people want to not just harken back to even an oral culture or a literal culture, but try to figure out how do we marry the two and include more of our senses, even within the limited spectrum of a social media platform. Yeah, it's interesting. You're totally right on. It's such a new phenomena. We're just trying to figure out even the questions to ask, let alone the answers to pose. And so much going on. And I just find it a fascinating time in church history. And it's great that people are asking these questions.
So how far along are you in your research?
So my degree program, hopefully, is 3 years. That's the design. That's what I'm hoping to finish it in. I'm a year into that. So I'm moving into my second year of research and coursework. And then my final year will be writing my dissertation.
Great. And you're in a unique place because you're researching as part of what you're doing with your time and energy, but you're also in the pulpit. So some of that research is going to seep into the pulpit and vice versa. So what is it that you're beginning to make some adjustments in your preaching, and how has the response been in the pews?
I think there's two things I would highlight for sure. One, I think one of the things I've tried to use more is the use of metaphor. Right, there's nothing more compelling than a good metaphor, right? There's something about that people can connect to and remember as they leave, and so trying to use metaphor more, either using a scriptural metaphor or coming up with an interesting metaphor to help people connect with the main point or theme of the message, you know. So that would be one dynamic. I think the other one is trying to reinvigorate the participatory nature of preaching, you know. Kierkegaard had a great idea of what preaching is. Like, because we oftentimes look at preaching as I'm in the pulpit, so I am the actor, and God is kind of the and the people are the audience, and where I'm interacting with God and people are watching that. That's oftentimes how we think of it. But in our new world, I think Kierkegaard has something great to say about it, because I think we live in a participatory world, and his idea was that the congregation. The congregation is actually the actor. God is the audience, and the preacher is the prompter. He prompts the audience to react with God and to interact with him. And so I'm learning more and reflecting more on what does it mean for me to help my people participate more and become the actor in what's happening on Sunday morning, rather than simply be a passive participant. So what does that mean to make them an active part of what's going on and thinking through that? And so whether that's just by asking some significant questions or by trying to engage in different ways or by drawing them into a story or into a piece of scripture, that is an important part of, I think, that process moving forward. And part of what I'm even doing now to begin to look into that and explore it.
I'm so glad you're thinking that way, because so much of what traditional media and the current use of social media in the church at large, and where I see development happening for those churches that are willing to use social media is they're using it as an extension of broadcast. So the preacher is trying to create sound bites that's retweetable. And then so people become the homing pigeons that are just pushing out sound bites rather than the potential of social media, which is to give voice to the people where they do become the actors. So where are you beginning to see that as you adjust your role to be the prompter in a rural community and people are technically equipped? So where are you beginning to see signs of that? What does it look like?
I think some degree. And that's how we would actually try to facilitate the use of social media. So like I try to use it from the perspective of engaging people on an ongoing basis about what we're doing. So whether that's, you know, we do a couple of different unique things. Like we do what we call, or our church is called Parkview Lounge Church. So we do our, what we call SundaySegment.com. So if you go there, there's a list of videos we do every Sunday. We take a 2 to 3 minute segment of the morning service, and we post that and use that on our social media sites just to engage people. Remember, if they weren't there, it's a quick way to refresh, etc. But then we use ParkviewCarryout.com, and which is like a blog. And basically, at the end of my message, I call people back to this. The idea is you take away from the message, not like a little piece, like a consumerist mentality, but helping people recognize, as I leave, I want to carry out this. So what does it mean to carry out this message in my life? So I try to ask reflective questions and try to engage in conversation. People I find are not so predispositioned to engage those conversations on that forum. So it's usually a way to post it. Some people do, but most of it actually happens through Facebook or one-on-one or via Twitter, et cetera, of individuals who are like, hey, that's interesting. I never thought about that before. Or, hey, this is actually what's going on. I need significant the peace of Christ in my life because this is what's happening. So that's why we've found that being useful. So yeah, it's honestly, it's a difficult balance. It's hard to do in a smaller environment where I don't have a social media staff. Like I am the social media staff as well as the preaching staff and lots of other things. And that's interestingly where most churches are at. So one of the interesting parts of this conversation is that oftentimes we talk to people that are in a very minute, there's 1% of the churches that are in their situation. What does it mean for the average church, the average pastor who's trying to use social media and adopt it in their ministry on top of everything else that they're already doing, which is, I think, an important part of this conversation as well.
And yet social media is already a part of our lives, but it's just disconnected from the life of the church.
Well, we always use this question in our church, in our particular church, and we have this big thing about we want to go and grow. And so our Go campaign logo has a picture of a well, and I always hearken that back to the woman at the well, where Jesus went to where the people were all the time. Even sometimes the disciples shaking their heads, wondering what Jesus is doing. Jesus would always go to the people were, and that's where people are now. You know, Len Sweet always says, ask the question. It's a great question, right? Like if you were after Gutenberg and you said, you know, I'm a pastor, I don't do books. You know, we don't do printed text. You know, we just refuse to do that. We would think that'd be completely ignorant. And yet lots of people say, you know, and I'm a pastor, I don't do social media. But that's where people are. Like we need to be like Jesus, go to the well where they are. And the things you learn and able to interact with people and engage in their life where they are at is unique to a social media context. And it hearkens the church to go to where people are at. And do so critically and do so understanding that it has effect on culture and all those different things. But us holding up our hands, like you have said, is not an excuse. It is an excuse, and it's not an acceptable solution going forward.
Well, Bryce, it's a joy to chat with you and to hear of your study, and you're really pioneering some new ground. And I look forward to invite our listeners to interact with this conversation and keep it going so that we all learn together.
Hey, please, I would totally appreciate that. And anytime you want to chat, just let me know. I love the stuff, and sometimes I talk to people in my church about it, and they're not sure what I'm saying or have any context for it. So it's great to talk to church leaders who are engaging this question in a healthy way, and it helps me to grow and to think of new questions as I look ahead.
Yeah, and we'll stay connected with you on your blog so that we kind of peek in and as you share the progress of your studies, and that'll be in our show notes.
Absolutely. Sounds great.
That was my conversation with Pastor Bryce Ashlyn Mayo. Check the show notes for links to his website and other things mentioned as he delves into a much needed research area in terms of how preaching needs to be adjusted for a information age, digital, social media kind of a world. Initially, when I thought about his research topic, I was thinking he was going to give some of the deeper impact and considerations for how to make sermons more soundbite and having more tweetable quotes or using some different kinds of strategy to incorporate participation into the sermon. But he actually came at it from a different direction, and it really helped me to think more broadly and holistically about just the whole myriad mix of issues that are involved when we think about preaching, the preaching art, as well as the potential for incorporating social media, not only as participatory tools, but also as how that is shaping our spiritual formation. So really good thoughts, first of many conversations, I hope. And as you heard, he put some questions out. As you heard, he put some questions out to you, the listeners, to chime in with the experience that you're facing as a preacher or as a teacher on how people are responding to your talks and your messages and sermons. Are people yearning for more participation, or are people looking for narratives, or how are they responding? So please do add a comment, or even better, call in with your comments to our hotline, 949-354-3216. Or click on any of those social media links to connect with your favorite social media channel at socialmediachurch.net. Of course, we are on Facebook and Twitter, as well as Google+ and YouTube. Feel free to chime in. Look forward to hearing from you. This concludes another episode of the Social Media Church, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next week, we'll stay connected online.